Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 360 DigiTech third quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Please also note today's event is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference call over to Ms. Mandy Dong, IR Director. Please go ahead, Mandy.
Thank you, Ray. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our third quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Our results were issued earlier today on our website. Joining me today are Mr. Wu Haisheng, our CEO and Director, Mr. Alex Xu, our CFO, and Mr. Zheng Yan, our CRO. Before we begin the prepared remarks, I'd like to remind you of the company's safe harbor statement. Except for historical information, the materials discussed here may contain forward-looking statements which are based on our current plans, estimates, and projections. Therefore, you should not place undue reliance on them. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. We caution that a number of important factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in forward-looking statements. For more information about potential risks and uncertainties, please refer to company filing with SEC. Also, this call includes discussion of certain non-GAAP measures. Please refer to our earnings release for a reconciliation between non-GAAP and GAAP ones. Last, unless otherwise stated, all figures mentioned are in RMB. I will now turn the call over to our CEO, Mr. Wu Haisheng.
好，谢谢 Mandy。
Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to report another set of record-breaking results of key operational and financial metrics in the third quarter. Total loan origination reached RMB 66 billion during the quarter, up 12% on a sequential basis. Outstanding loan balance increased by 7.3% to RMB 84.2 billion from RMB 78.5 billion last quarter. Total revenue was RMB 3.7 billion, up 10.9% from last quarter. Non-GAAP net income was RMB 1.29 billion, up 36.7% from last quarter.
在过去的这个季度里，监管面的剧烈变动给行业带来新的挑战。上一轮笼罩的上半年，我们已经成功地穿越了三个剧烈波动的季度，仍然表现很稳定，业绩持续向好，充分地证明了我们一贯坚持的业务逻辑的正确性和可持续性。经过疫情和监管，行业出现明显的分化，拥有核心竞争壁垒的公司业绩持续向好，表现出了穿越周期的稳定性。
It has been a very busy quarter in terms of regulatory change, which will create significant challenges for the fintech industry. Since the beginning of the year when COVID-19 hit, we have now successfully navigated through three quarters under tremendous market uncertainties and volatilities with consistent execution and steadily improving results. This is a strong testament to the soundness of our strategies and the sustainability of our business. In the wake of the pandemic and the regulatory change, we believe the fintech industry has become further polarized as companies with core competitive edge continue to strive with consistent performance across business cycles. While we have tightened our policy in customer acquisition and risk management following the uncertainty created by the high core rate cap ruling in Q3, We still achieved strong business growth, mainly benefiting from the noticeable recovery in macroeconomy. Let me elaborate in three aspects.
首先从整体看，我们平台的注册用户、授信用户以及借款用户持续稳健增长，本季度的获客数量新增157万，继续保持上个季度的获客节奏。
First, overall, we continue to generate consistent growth in the number of registered users, user with approved credit lines, and active borrowers. During the quarter, we added approximately 1.57 million with new users with approved credit lines, similar to that of last quarter.
其实我们的新业务嵌入式金融也稳步发展。嵌入式金融是从硅谷到中国的概念， FinTech 行业出现的新的趋势。金融科技功能作为一种基础设施的模式嵌入到各类 2C 的平台，这已经在中国逐渐成为标配。这不仅是各种平台自己自身流量变现的需要，也是为了更好的满足自己内部客户的一种转化的需求。而我们因为更好的用户体验和更高的转化率成为这个趋势的受益者。这个季度越来越多的场景平台嵌入了我们的金融科技能力，包括小米、美团、爱奇艺等16多家已经和我们合作，那还有京东、滴滴、百度，越来越多的这些公司正在排队接入中，证明我们的市场地位进一步得到了市场合作伙伴的认可。
Second, we have made noticeable progress in our new business initiative, embedded fintech. Will fintech company provide their service in infrastructure as a service, ICE in short, module. This is a new industry trend that started in the Silicon Valley and is gradually accepted in China. A growing number of 2C platforms have embedded fintech ICE as a standard component into their offerings. In order to better monetize their user base and serve their customers' needs, we are in a strong position to benefit from this trend as our ICE solutions offer better user experience and higher conversions. During the quarter, more and more 2C platforms took our ICE solutions, including Xiaomi, Meituan, and iQIYI, among 16 platforms in total. And we have another 10 in the pipeline, including JD, DD, and Baidu. This demonstrates the increasing recognition of market position by our partners.
再次，我们继续稳步推进业务模式轻资产化，这是我们长期的战略目标。本季度从放款角度，我们的 Cash Light 模式以及其他科技输出模式的交易占比进一步提升至大约28%。我们按照年初的计划，完全自主的控制节奏，逐步提升该比例，年底的这一目标将超额完成。比 Cash Light 模式更加科技化的科技输出业务也表现出了长足的进展。我们已经合作的机构有15家，跟进中的项目还有超过50家。
Third, we continue to advance our capital light model as our long-term strategy. Capital light and other tech-empowered models further increased to approximately 28% of total loan origination during third quarter. While we have been on a measured pace to roll out capital light model so far this year, given the uncertain market conditions, we are fully confident that we will at least achieve our year-end target of 35 to 40% as we expect to see acceleration in the rest of the year. During the quarter, we also made considerable progress in providing more tech-empowered SaaS solutions. To date, we have established a cooperation with 15 institutions with over 50 in pipeline.
在业务量增长的同时，我们的资产质量也达到了接近了历史最佳水平。总体而言，我们继续执行稳中偏紧的风险策略。几个重要的先行指标从二季度末以来持续改善，其中守余率达到了历史最佳水平，目前已经降到了5.3%，7天守余率0.8%，30天回收率已经上升到90%。 这一方面反映了宏观经济好转的趋势，另一方面也证明了，进一步证明了我们的风控策略和模型的有效性。
As our business continued to grow, our asset quality also near the best levels ever. During the quarter, we continued to execute our prudent risk management strategy with a slightly tightening bias. Key leading indicator continued to improve since the end of second quarter. Day one delinquency rate further dropped to a record low of 5.3%, and the day seven delinquency rate to only 0.8%, while M1 collection rate rose to about 90%. The strong risk management metric not only reflects continued improvement in macro economy, but also further validated the efficiency and capability of our risk management strategy and models.
作为金融科技行业的领导者，我们始终密切地关注监管动态，顺势而为，做最合规和健康发展的头部平台。从年中以来，监管密集出台了一系列与行业发展紧密相关的政策和指导意见，总体让行业变得更加有序了。
As a leading fintech player, we have always ensured that we maintain the highest standard of compliance in line with the latest regulations. This is critical for healthy and sustainable development of our business. Since the middle of this year, the regulators have rolled out a series of policies and guidance closely associated with the development of fintech industry. Overall, we believe the regulators are promoting industry orders for healthy and sustainable development.
11月初，中国的银保监会发布了《网络小贷业务管理暂行办法（征求意见稿）》，对网络小贷和联合贷业务的运营做出了一系列规定。我们理解这一新规，主要目的是为了进一步降低金融的杠杆率，预防系统性风险。而目前，我们通过小贷牌照，自营放款余额占比不足1%，同时我们的联合贷余额占比仅仅1%。因此，目前初步判断，这一新规对我们这种不以小贷为出资方的助贷业务，基本不会有什么影响。另外，最近监管对于小贷杠杆的限制，有可能会让某些头部平台释放出来大量市场空间，也许会给市场带来新的机会。
In early November, CBIRC issued the interim measures for the administration of internal microlending consultative paper, imposing a set of restrictions on microlending and joint lending operations. We believe the regulators are aiming to further lower leverage and prevent systematic risk in financial markets. Currently, the outstanding balance of self-funding loans issued through our microlending subsidiary accounts for less than 1% of the total loan balance, and joint lending accounts for around 0.01%. Therefore, based on our preliminary evaluation, the new rules will have little impact on our loan origination business. In addition, the leverage restriction may force some leading players to scale back their business, thus creates opportunity for us to grab additional market share.
最近银保监会又发了关于促进消费金融公司和汽车金融公司增强可持续发展能力，提升金融服务质效的通知。整体上，我们认为有利于销金公司拓展业务，并且更加积极地与助贷平台合作，尤其明确规定了消费金融公司与助贷平台合作的规范，从而有利于类似于我们这样的头部的助贷平台。
CBIRC recently also issued a notice on promoting the sustainable development capability of consumer finance and auto finance companies and improving quality and efficiency of financial services. In our view, the notice will benefit consumer finance companies to expand their operations and to boost their business with loan facilitation platforms. In particular, it clearly set out specific practice for the cooperation between consumer finance companies and the loan facilitation platforms, which will benefit leading loan facilitation platforms like us.
我们认为监管在最近半年的密集动作清楚地表明，行业已经进入全方位的监管规范化时代。这些政策表明监管 不是一味的打压行业，而是有所纠正，有所扶持，就会让行业更加有序，这正是我们非常乐于见到的。
We believe the busy regulatory movement in the past 6 months are a clear indication that Chinese fintech industry is entering a phase of comprehensive regulation. These policies also show that rather than a strong-handed crackdown, the regulators are promoting industry orders by supporting good practices and correcting the not so good ones. This will drive the healthy development of the industry, and we are glad to see that.
在我们主营的消费金融领域之外，我们也在积极探索新的可能性，寻求更大的增长空间。相比20万亿左右的消费金融市场，中国的小微企业贷款市场规模有50万亿，并且有50%多的需求未被满足，未被覆盖。我们注意到，在这一片市场里面，我们的同行已经，有一些同行已经探索出了一些可行的路径，有些，是通过银行牌照接入国家税务总局的税务数据来执行风控，有些是通过线下渠道覆盖中国的广泛的小微企业。
Outside our core business of consumer finance, we were also proactively exploring new business opportunities and seeking more room for growth. Compared with roughly RMB 20 trillion consumer finance market, China's SME loan market is estimated to be around RMB 50 trillion, with over 50% of credit demand unmet. We know that a few players already developed sustainable approach, some using banking license to access the SME tax to support risk management, and some use extensive offline channels to reach potential SME customers.
我认为这里存在非常有利于我们的机会，因为我们的关联公司360集团是国内仅有的3家成为商业银行第一大股东的互联网公司，并且我们已经搭建了一个比较有规模的地推网络，有1000人左右的销售团队。除此之外，我们在巨大的存量客户里，通过分析，我们惊喜地发现，有相当大的比例是小微企业主。这些用户都是我们SME 业务的潜在客户。
The early success of both strategies indicate that there are great opportunities for us, as we have access to banking license through our affiliates, and we have also established a large offline sales network with over 1,000 representatives. In addition, we are very excited to find that a significant portion of our existing customers as SME owners, which could provide a large pool of potential customers for SME lending.
虽然在2020年前面3个季度的里面，宏观经济和金融科技行业以及我们自身经历了各种严峻的挑战和困难，但我们一次一次用实力通过了多重的压力测试。所以展望我们余下的2020年，我们仍然会采用稳健的运营策略，并且开展多方面的创新的探索。我们非常有信心超额完成年初设定的主要的运营指标。那下面请我们的 CFO Alex 跟大家分享一下我们更具体的运营和财务细节。
Despite the various challenges and difficulties related to macroeconomy, fintech industry, and our operation in the three quarters of 2020, we have successfully passed multiple stress tests with outstanding performance. For the rest of 2020, we will carry on implementing prudent business strategy and further exploring new business initiatives. We are highly confident to exceed key operational targets that were set at the beginning of this year. Now, I will pass the floor to Alex.To offer some detail of our operational and financial performance.
Thank you, Haisheng. Good morning and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly earnings call. For the interest of time, I will not go over all the financial line items on the call. Please refer to our earnings release for the details. During the third quarter, we see continued rebound of our business momentum as consumer confidenceand economic activities gradually recovered post-COVID-19. Benefiting from such macro trend, we have experienced robust consumer demand for credit, along with noticeable improvement in asset quality. Total net revenue for Q3 reached 3.7 billion versus 3.34 billion in Q2 and 2.58 billion a year ago. The year-over-year comparison is somewhat distorted by the accounting standard change early this year. Revenue from credit-driven service, which we call CapHeavy, was 2.96 billion compared to 3.08 billion in Q2. The sequential decline was mainly due to the decline in take rate as we lowered our average interest rate in later Q3 to, and the average take rate for the entire Q3 is 25.9%. Sorry, the interest rate for the entire Q3 is 25.9% compared to 27.2% in Q2, following the Supreme Court ruling in late August. Revenue from platform service, which we call CapLite, was 748 million compared to 259 million in Q2. If you recall, in Q2, we took accounting charges against the revenue because the projected delinquency rate for certain assets exceeding performance benchmark set by revenue sharing agreement with our partners. As the asset quality continued to improve, the actual performance of those assets turned out better than previously expected, and the delinquency rate fell below the benchmark. Therefore, from accounting perspective, the charge should be reversed in Q3. Aside from these charges, the underlying take rate for the platform service also modestly improved in Q3. Total operating expenses, excluding provisions, were roughly flat Q-on-Q, but decreased 33% year-on-year. The year-on-year decline mainly reflects significant improvement in operational efficiency, particularly the reduction of customer acquisition costs. Sequentially, we were able to keep operating expenses stable as we grew our business substantially. Average customer acquisition cost per user with approved credit line was RMB 172 in Q3, modestly higher than RMB 167 in Q2. As the macroeconomy recovers, demand for online traffic increased significantly. Q4 is also a seasonally high demand period for online traffic, particularly around the intense online shopping events such as Double 11. Non-GAAP net income was 1.29 billion versus 942 million in Q2 and 756 million a year ago. Once again, the year-on-year comparison was negatively impacted by the accounting standard change. Nonetheless, this is the first time ever our quarterly net income exceeding 1 billion RMB mark. We are very proud for the achievement, particularly given the challenging market condition early in the year. The overall macroeconomic condition is improving, and the COVID-19 is largely contained in China. However, we will continue to take a prudent approach to expand our business and to manage overall risk. With strong operating results and increased contribution from CapLite model in Q3, our leverage ratio, which is defined as risk-bearing loan balance divided by shareholders' equity, further declined to 7.4 times from 8.3 times in Q2 and 9.5 in Q1. We expect to see continued deleveraging in our business driven by accelerating movement towards CapLite model and solid operating results. Meanwhile, our provision coverage ratio rebounded to 436% in Q3 compared to 321% in Q2 and 400% in Q1. The sequential improvement in provision coverage ratio was mainly because of significant decline in projected delinquency rate for risk-bearing loans and our conservative approach to estimate provisions. We note that recently, CBIRC lowered provision coverage ratio requirement for consumer finance companies to 130% from 150%. Non-restricted cash balance reached a record high of approximately $4.8 billion in Q3. This was largely driven by strong operating results and effective management of working capital. Total cash and cash equivalent were $7.9 billion at the end of Q3. A significant portion of our cash was allocated to the security deposit with our institutional partners and registered capitals of different entities to support our daily operations. We believe that sufficient cash position will not only enable us to compete in the ever-changing market, but also position us to potential growth opportunity to capture potential growth opportunities in the market recovery. Finally, let me give you some color about our outlook for the fourth quarter. After delivering strong operating results in the three quarters of the year, our previous full-year loan origination guidance appears too conservative. We now expect loan origination volume in the first quarter to be between RMB 64 billion to RMB 66 billion, which implies full-year loan origination guidance to be RMB 242 to 244 billion, compared to our previous guidance of RMB 200 to 220 billion. The revising guidance reflects current business momentum as well as normal seasonality. With that, I would like to conclude our prepared remarks. Operator, we can now take some questions.
Thank you, management. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To cancel, please press 02. For those who can speak Chinese, please kindly ask a question in Chinese first, followed by English translation yourself. In addition, in order to have enough time to address everyone on the call, please keep to one question and one follow-up, and then return to the queue if you have more questions. Thank you. So as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question is from Jackie Zhou from China Renaissance. Please go ahead.
Hey, 管理层好，这个非常感谢给我提问的机会。那这个首先恭喜这个 Quarter 是非常强的一个 results。 那我这边一个问题就是想请教一下监管这边，那我们也观察到了这个最新的这个小贷的监管，其实它这里边的这个资本金的要求是非常高啊，那可能第一个就是想请教一下管理层对于这个小贷牌照目前的一个看法，是不是有可能会联合其他的这个合作方一起去申请，然后另外一个就是关于监管这块接下来。 管理层会不会有这个预期，说是有更收紧的监管的一些要求，尤其是对于这个住贷这方面，那具体出台的这个时间点会是怎么样的？So I will translate my question. So congrats on the strong results. My question is related to regulation. So we observed that the a new online macro lending rules requires actually a high capital requirement for the applicant. So what is our view on the new lending license and any plan to apply this license jointly with other parties? In addition, do we expect any further tightening on the loan facilitation regulation, and what will be the timeline? Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie, for your question. I will let our CEO to answer your question. Haisheng.
好，谢谢 Jackie. 第一个是关于那个最新的小贷监管办法。这个办法涉及到几个方面的问题，第一是对联合贷，第二是对那个新华 ABS。 第三是对那个地域性进行限制。我们认为第一、第二，因为我们基本不涉及，我们没有联合贷，也没有循环发言，所以 从这个方面来讲，它对我们的影响基本上很小。然后对于刚才你提到的这个资本金的问题，因为它写到如果说这个牌照进行保牌的话，肯定需要做到10亿资本金。如果说是需要进行全国性经营，需要增资到50亿资本金。这里面存在一定的这个理解上的问题，就是我们长期不准备用小贷作为主要出资方进行业务经营。所以如果不用小贷作为出资方经营的话，理论上应该是不受这个地域不受这个资本金要求的限制的。我们的主营业务还是一个住贷业务。极端情况下讲的话，我们自己还有银行，我们自己如果即使增资，我们其实资金压力也还可以。所以但是我们不认为我们需要增资到那个程度，因为我们不是以小贷为出资方来经营业务的。这是第一个问题。Mandy。
I will translate for our CEO. Jackie, regarding your question about the micro-lending license, there are a few aspects involved in this notice. One is about the joint lending. Actually, on this aspect, we merely have less than 1% on our total loan balance, which is a very, very small portion. Secondly, the notice mentioned some regional restriction about micro-lending and also the recurring facility. We barely have that part either. About the registered capital, it requires about $1 billion for local lending and $5 billion for the national lending. Actually, look at our whole business. We mainly use other funding sources rather than the micro-lending license. Therefore, we will focus on the loan facilitation platform, not relying on the micro-lending license. And we, in the long term, we target not to leverage the micro-lending license. Furthermore, if please consider we have banking license, and if we want to increase the registered capital, it's more important for us to register in the banking license.
第二个是关于住贷监管会不会收紧的问题啊。这里面其实前面监管已经通过这个城商行的这个互联网贷款管理办法和销金公司的那份通知，对住贷业务做出了明确的定义和这个和操作指导。我们认为长期来看，监管对住贷的管理是趋于规范化，而不是叫收紧。因为长期来看，中国的传统银行和金融科技公司之间存在巨大的协同合作空间，而不是竞争空间。所以从长期来看，银行要建立起完整的今天的消费金融的能力，是存在一定的这个能力的这个补充需求的。就长期来看，这个行业是走向更加规范，走向更加的有序化。
Jackie, regarding your question about regulation on loan facilitation business, please recall that in July, regulator released online lending guidance of commercial banks, and recently they issued notice about the consumer finance company and auto finance company loan facilitation business. Both notice indicate regulators' view they legitimize loan facilitation business in law. In the long term, we do not think that regulator is tightening the loan facilitation business in China. It's actually promoting industry order for healthy development and sustainable development. Also, if you look at China market, the traditional banking cannot develop the micro-lending consumer finance capability on their own. The relationship between traditional institution bankings and loan facilitation platforms are complementary and collaborative. We can forge synergy and become the interoperable model.
感谢，很清楚。那我这边可不可以在这个追问一个问题啊？就是刚才，海生总也讲到了咱们现在这个跟各个流量平台的这个合作，想请教一下这块的合作目前占我们的总的放款量的一个占比是怎么样的？然后我们接下来有什么样的预期？ So my follow-up question is regarding to the ICE model. As we mentioned, so we are cooperating with other traffic platforms. So what is the percentage of these cooperation as of our loan volume currently, and what is the outlook?
从这个比例目前大约从那个用户量的角度，新增用户量的角度，目前大约在20%到30%之间。从趋势来看的话，现在我们显然处在这个趋势的那个，还是处于这个趋势的开始阶段，因为现在有大量的机构，越来越多的机构，想介入这种分清能力。但介入这种能力呢，它要求第一是它用户体验比较好，投诉比较少。 第二是要求它的这个转化率比较高，能够把它的流量进行更多的这种转化，而在这些指标方面，目前跟我们形成竞争的公司已经越来越少，然后跟某些头部平台的这个电商平台下面的分期业务相比呢，他们之间存在竞争关系，所以其实在这种趋势下，平台可选的公司并不多，用户体验又好，又没有竞争性，所以我们逐渐成为。 越来越多的公司的这个合作伙伴，Andy.
Well, in terms of the new acquired users, the API model, or we call the embedded fintech model, takes account roughly 20 to 30%, and we still continuing see the growth momentum in terms of this customer acquisition. So. Platform with consumption scenarios. When they choose loan facilitation platform, they require you need to have a better user experience and high conversion rate, which are our strong competitive. That's why there are a lot other platforms lying in the pipeline.
Jackie, I want to add one point that is to your question. The 20% Haisheng just mentioned is actually for the new user acquisition percentage, but from a loan volume perspective, given the significant larger percentage is coming from old users, so the new format is only contribute roughly 2 to 3% of the loan volume we're generating.
Got it, very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Daphne at Citi. Please go ahead.
管理层早上好，感谢接受我这个提问。那我就想问一下关于我们自身的，就是贷款量增长的一个展望吧。就是首先其实看到三季度这边的这个新客的。 增长其实环比还是比较平的，那是不是可以理解，就是说三季度的这个贷款量的增长，主要还是老客的一个平均额度的一个增加，就这边也能不能也就是 share 一下这个我们三季度这个平均的这个 ticket size 多少？然后就是我看我们四季度的这个 guidance， 其实imply 就是说四季度环比的这个贷款量还是平的，但就我就在想，就是说如果 整个宏观环境包括自然资源还是持续在改善的话，就是为什么可能就是说不是一个更高的一个增长吧，就是不是也有一些季节性的因素，另外就想问一下可能明年的这个获客或者这个放款量的一个展望吧。
So I will translate my question. So it's mainly regarding the loan origination and customer acquisition outlook. So first, when we look at the third quarter new borrowers number, it's still flattish QOQ. So just want to check whether like, it seems that the loan volume growth in the third quarter is mainly driven by a larger ticket size are given to the existing borrowers. So if possible, can the management also share the average ticket size on borrowers in third quarter? And per your guidance for fourth quarter, it only implies like a flattish loan volume QOQ. So just wondering like why the growth would not be stronger given like the everything continues to improve and whether there is any seasonality here. And lastly, like if you can share the outlook in terms of your loan origination for next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. I would like Haisheng to answer more kind of overview side of your question, then I will give you some detailed numbers. Haisheng.
Okay. Q3的这个增长跟以前一样，老客贡献会占比比较多。 然后那个这个size没有看到明显的这个变化，那个一会儿我们的那个郑总可以帮我补充啊，这个这个size应该没有明显变化。第二个就是关于我们Q4为什么不去做的更多的问题，这里面几个方面的考虑，第一就是Q4本身每年都是处于整个市场的一个就像您说的这个季节性因素，整个市场处于各种电商。 各种这个年底的活动会在流量争夺上比较激烈。第二也是因为我们对于冬天，气候变暖之后疫情是否反弹，由于谨慎的考虑，我们不认为 Q4 可能过于激进，是一个好的策略。Okay,
I will translate for our CEO. First of all, yes, you are right. We will see more contribution from existing customers in terms of loan origination in Q3. About the ticket size, yes, we see relatively stable compared to last quarter. About the Q4 outlook, there are a few reasons that we give this outlook. Number one is usually there are seasonality in the last quarter, especially considering some traffic pressure from e-commerce platforms, etc. Secondly, we are a very prudent company. We stay vigilant about any alert about of the pandemic and the macro conditions down the road. And we don't think it's wise to give so aggressive approach in the fourth quarter.
然后对于明年的展望。 我们现在可能不一定能够给出来特别具体的数字，但我认为明年存在一些向好的一些趋势。第一就是在从消费金融来讲，我们今天所做的这些，创新和渠道工作，包括宏观经济变好，会让我们的消费金融业务会出现一个比今年更好的一个局面。第二就是我们跟我们的关联公司金城银行之间，我们的业务应该会逐渐进入一个。 那个逐渐进入一个启动和上量期，所以我们明年这块业务应该也是可以有所期待。第三就是我们今天所开展的新业务，包括对于小微金融的一些探索和布局。我们包括今天B渠道的开发，我们今天在小微业务的这个B端的渠道开发上，我们基本上已经把所有主要竞争 对手的这个渠道都进行了全面覆盖，所以我们也可以期望明年这块业务会有一些新的增长。Andy.
Sure. Overall, for next year outlook, I don't have very concrete number to share now, but I can give a rough idea that we expect to see continued improved momentum next year. I will elaborate in a few aspects. Number one, as we explore more new initiatives this year, we expect to see the growth showing up next year. Secondly, considering our affiliate's stake in KCB, we expect to see the synergy and the co-developed products ramping up next year. Thirdly, about the small SME loan business I mentioned in my speech, we started already, and for example, for the channels to be, we have already covered most of them.
Stephanie, I just want to add, I don't need, you have to add
on. 对，那边我看你和曾毅有没有补充。
我补充一下吧，其实我们做了一个分析，就Q3的 存量户的一些交易里面呢，我们去拆分了因素，说看它这些增长来自哪里。那其中 45% 其实来自于活跃型产品的交叉销售，也就是 可以理解成像威灵花这样的产品，它可以带来客户更多的活跃，所以使得这些 存量户有更多的交易，这是45%的一个占比。那还有25%的占比是来自于我们触动的一个提升，那这里面包括我们触动的手段、触动的产品和触动的模型的提升。对，那还有30%呢是来自于我们好客户的交叉销售或者提额。那也就前面韩森总其实有提到，我们会发现我们的客户里面有一些是小微企业主。对，然后我们针对这些客户呢，我们去提供了一个尊享贷和小微贷的产品给到他们，帮助他们提高更多的额度，在风险可控的情况下。对，所以这个大概占比占到30%。那整体的 ticket size 来说的话，也是保持相较比较平稳的，在5300到5400左右啊。陆瑶翻译一下。
Okay, so to elaborate more on the contribution of the existing customers, so we have analyzed that 45% is due to the cross-selling product like V-Pocket that increased the customer activity and also the retention of the customers. And 25% is due to the operational efficiency improvement. For example, we have increased the different touch points and do the model iterations. And the last one is from the ticket size increase and the credit line increase. For example, for the SME owners and for people with cars or property, we will increase the credit line. So the ticket size is relatively stable in this month. It's around from 5,300 to 5,400.
Oh, 我这边没了，看那个 Alex。
Yeah, I'm done. Daphne, go ahead.
Yeah, 好的，我可能就追问一下关于刚才提到就是小微贷款这边，其实是不是就是通过，主要是通过京城银行那边合作去做的，然后这块的一个就是包括跟京城银行的现在合作的一个情况，就是有没有更多的信息可以分享，就是包括可能预计明年大概能有多大的一个贡献。So I just want to follow up regarding your partnership with Jingcheng Bank and also the SME lending initiative you mentioned earlier. So first wondering that whether this SME loan is just mainly granting for your partnership with Jingcheng Bank. And also, is there anything more that you can share regarding your current progress at partnering with Jingcheng Bank and your expected contribution into next year? Thank you.
对，关于小微的业务，我们有几个方面的这个增长渠道。第一，就是我们本身的这个几千万的存量用户里面，我们发现有相当高的比例是小微企业主，我们看了一下数据，大约是20%到25%左右。那这些用户，我们过去对他们进行一些尝试，发现，你把它当成一个小微企业经营的时候，它的，风险表现出了比我们大盘更好的一个结果。这是关于存量部分。第二就是我们，关于这个小微企业的这个业务，一个比较好的实践是通过，这种企业级的服务软件，像 SaaS 软件这种，来覆盖这些企业，包括给企业提供发票数据、提供税务数据的这些 SaaS 公司，跟这些 SaaS 公司们合作，来覆盖小微企业，是一个很高效的那个方法。我们目前已经对这类企业进行了一个非常大面积的覆盖。第三个就是我们发现，线下推广是一个非常适合小微企业经营的一个方法。我们也通过这个，我们其实也可以通过平安普惠的这个案例可以看出来，这个方法目前有效性还是比较可以的。所以我们目前也已经拥有了1000人的一个线下团队，我们可以在这里面进行更多的一些尝试。Mandy。
Sure. Currently, we are implementing a few very effective customer channels in terms of SME loans. Number one, for our extensive existing users, after we analyze, we are happy to see roughly 20 to 25% of them are SME loan owners, and we have done some initial attempts to lend money to them. The asset quality turned out to be better than our total loan book. Secondly, we leverage the enterprise SaaS service companies to cover SME owners. Those enterprise SaaS include tax and invoice related service. And thirdly, when the offline channels turn out to be very effective, as is proven by Ping An, which is backed by Lufax. Nowadays, we have over 1,000 offline sales teams.
Okay. 关于那个新城银行的，可以说的是，我们跟他们之间的合作正在逐渐全面展开。第一方面是关于传统的这个资金合作，那我们已经正对接完成，陆续上线。在传统资金之外呢，我们正在联合去开发一些新客群的面向新客群的产品，那可能会今天会极大优化我们既有的这个客群结构。那同时我们因为他们可以很好的接入税务数据和很低的资金成本，我们可以共同面向这个小微企业开发一些更有竞争力的小微企业产品。第四块是关于我们之间这个金融科技公司和金融机构之间的这种金融科技能力的输出，这个业务也会金城银行的合作也会成为我们2B 的输出的合作领域的一个样本工程。
Sure. Just give you a few updates on our cooperation with KCB. Firstly, regarding the funding side, we are advanced the progress with them. Secondly, collaborate with KCB, we are able to tap into some better quality prime customers. Thirdly, KCB has banking license, which provide us to legitimately access tax data, which is the pivotal risk management data for SME law. Thirdly, we are co-developing tax products with KCB. This will be the standardized module for our 2B business.
Thank you, Daphne. Next one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Ethan Wong at CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you. 谢谢管理层。我这边这个问题是关于 take rate 的。因为我们看到就是特别是 platform service 这边的 take rate 其实非常强劲的。但市场一般会认为我们做 platform service 的时候 take rate 可能是与传统业务相比是有一个压力。所以想请教一下管理层咱们这一块 take rate 这个非常强劲的原因及未来的展望。另外和这个相关就是刚才徐总在 prepared remarks 也提到这个 APR 的水平，能不能再重复一下？另外就是咱们三季度这个 funding cost 的走势是怎么样？谢谢。Thank you. My question on take rate, especially on platform service take rate, which is quite strong in the third quarter. So just if management can share some color on the reason behind this and the trend going forward. And a related question is on the APR level and the funding cost in the third quarter, and if there's some guidance for the future, for future quarters, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure, thank you. I think I'll go the reverse order in terms of questions. The first one, in terms of the funding cost, third quarter, we continue to see modest decline versus the second quarter. If you remember, second quarter, we are 7.2% on average. Third quarter, we are somewhere between 7 and 7.1%, so slightly lower. That's the funding cost. And secondly, regarding to interest rate, for the quarter, the average is at 25.9%. The second quarter average, as you recall, is 27.2%. So you see that drop, mainly because starting from September, we adjust our pricing for all the products following the high court ruling in terms of interest rate cap there. So that's for the interest rate question. And then in terms of take rate for capitalized model, it is, if you do the math, significantly higher than the second quarter and also probably higher than normal. The main reason is because in my prepared remarks, I mentioned a little bit, if you recall the second quarter, actually the capitalized take model is quite low, was quite low because as I said, there is a batch of the assets, the projected performance or in terms of delinquency exceeded the benchmark we set with our partners. According to the agreement, mostly the early time sort of agreement we have with the partners, if the delinquency exceeding certain benchmark, our take rate will being reduced accordingly. So that's the main reason for Q2's take rate for capitalized drop quite significantly. But that doesn't mean the actual loss for that batch of assets happened in Q2. It's just a projected kind of a delinquency. Now, as the macroeconomy improves, the asset quality continue to improve. So we'll get over the third quarter, that particular batch of assets, the actual loss is actually much better than previously expected, and making the delinquency lower than the benchmark we set in the agreement. So from accounting perspective, the charge you took in the second quarter has to be reversed back in the third quarter. So you know, if you just look at the printed number, you see the third quarter's take rate are significantly higher than the second. But if you get rid of all these kind of noises, meaning adding back those charges to the second quarter and get rid of this write back in the third quarter, you would compare to the real core take rate for the capitalized model. For that number, we see very modest improvement in the third quarter versus the second quarter.
Got it. Thank you, Alex. Just a quick follow-up. So the high take rate for capital light model in the third quarter may be partially contributed to a reversal of the charge in the second quarter. So in the fourth quarter and forwards, should we assume that this reversal is one-off, so it should be gone, and take rate should go slightly lower to be normalized? Is that the correct understanding?
I think in general, that's probably the right assumption. Given the macroeconomy continue to improve, we don't expect any sort of piece of assets to exceed any of those benchmark anymore. So that's the noise will be gone either way. And overall, and remember that since the September, our overall pricing coming down a little bit, that for capitalized model, the take rate also related to a certain degree of the pricing. So for the fourth quarter, we will see flattish to slightly downward on the take rate for the capitalized model.
谢谢, 非常清楚, very clear, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Our next question is from Stephen Chen at Haitong International. Please go ahead.
管理层早上好, 主要两个问题, 一个是追问一下 关于这个 APR 的, 在上季度, 尤其是在九月份减低, 主要是从 funding partner 的压力, 还是市场的压力, 对于四季度来说, 咱们觉得这个压力会不会 会平稳过来, 就是说 APR 会平稳过来, 这个是第一个问题, 第二个问题还是想, 可能问一下海盛总关于那个小微的贷款那边的助贷，因为我们从陆金所 因为陆金所的招股书已经出来了，从陆金所的招股书里面看到他们的那个关于小微贷款或者助贷的那个 business model， 其实跟现在咱们的 business model 是有挺大的分别。比如说第一，在获客成本来说，如果我们用一个平均的每一个获客成本来说，他们是几千块一个人的，当然如果用 loan size 来说的话，可能就很少。那如果我们真的转型开始做那个小微的话，会不会也是同样，尤其是我们现在也有1000个那个所谓的 offline 的 sales team， 那个会不会大幅增加我们的 acquisition cost， customer acquisition cost， 那个是第一。第二个就是如果我们从风控的系统来看的话，其实他们每一笔贷款的 ticket size 以及于 tenor，ticket size 当然就是很大了，都超过10万块，然后 tenor 都是差不多是3年，那会不会整套的风控系统会完全不同？那现在咱们用的风控系统是不是不能够 apply 到那边？我们是不是已经发展了一套新的风控系统啊？然后最后也是关于那个所谓他们的 capital light。在小微里面的那个模式，可能跟现在咱们做的有一点不，或者兜底啦，我或者不是 capitalize， 或者是兜底的业务，他们是有一点不同，就是他们现在是不做 back to back guarantee 的，所以他们原本的所谓的兜底业务就变成了不兜底了。那会不会未来就是咱们做小微的时候也开始转变那个所谓的兜底的业务，就是不做 back to back， 还是那个是因为陆金所他有平保，所以他们可以做那个不做 back to back guarantee， 而是可以做就是说给了一个 guarantee cost 以后，然后就算了，就其他的就是那个所谓的平保或者担保公司来负责。My question divided into two parts. One follow up on the lending rate APR. Just want to know the decline in APR. Is it related to the pressure from the funding partner or from the market? Do we see a stabilized trend in Q4? And then for microfinance loan facilitation business, if you compare with the business model of Lufax, actually the business model of Lufax is completely different from the consumer finance loan facilitation model, especially one for acquisition costs. Per customer acquisition cost ratio was very high. So are we going to see similar pattern too? In terms of risk management system, they have to cater for bigger ticket size and then longer tenor. Is our current risk management system, can our current risk management system cater for this change in like ticket size and tenor? And finally, even in terms of like guarantee model, they do not provide back-to-back guarantee to the, you know, to the customer, but currently, like for our guaranteed business model, we provide back-to-back guarantee. So are we going to follow this similar pattern, or do we have some unique sort of like business model in terms of like guarantee or capital-light business for the inclusive microfinance loan facilitation business? Thanks.
Thanks, Steven. I would like our CEO and CRO to take your question. 海生，你先来吧。
好，一个关于 APR 降低的这个原因，这个事情更多的还是来自我们自己主动的一个选择。出于我们过去一贯的这个审慎的经营风格，我们倾向于，给自己创造一个更良好的一个监管形象。其实并没有来自监管或者来自这个合作银行的这种主动的这种被动的压力，更多的还是一种主动的选择。那这种选择我们相信在 Q4， 在 Q3 已经基本完成，Q4 的话会趋于一个稳定的一个局面。
Okay, I will translate for our CEO. For the reason of lower APR in Q3, the main reason is that we proactively lower APR to fully comply with the regulation. We pretty much have done this sales in Q3 and will be stable situation in Q4.
关于 SME 的。我想说现在在市场上有两个最佳实践，一个是这个陆军所平安普会有，他们是通过这种线下推广的方式来获客和封库。第二个是这个微众银行的微业贷业务。微业贷业务的话做了这个一年以上的时间，现在可能那个计数余额大约是1000亿左右。同样面向的是小微企业客户，但是大家的做法不一样的。所以回答就是你的问题里面，就是关于获客成本的话，你比如说微业贷的这个获客，它主要更多可能还是通过线上的这种这种 SaaS 级的公司合作的方式来获客，平安不会通过这种线下的方式，而我们同时具备这个线下能力和这个银行的这种伙伴。所以这两种方式我们都有能力去尝试，所以在获客成本上，随着你用的不同的方法，可能成本也会不一样。关于成本的 Mandy。
Yeah, sure. About the customer acquisition cost of SME loan. In the market, there are two successful strategies from two of our peers. Number one is the Ping An from Lufax. It is offline coverage team. Secondly, is the WeiYeDai backed by WeBank. Currently, they have around 100 billion RMB loan balance. WeiYeDai applied the online SaaS service provider to channel the SME owners. Both of them, the customer acquisition strategy are successful, and we apply the different the strategy. If we learn from them, the customer acquisition cost will vary a bit.
然后从我来回答，然后第三个，一会儿第二个麻烦曾燕回答一下。第三个就是关于这个 SME 的这个兜底模式问题。我们今天已经跟我们的资金方形成了一个非常深度的信任。我们现在的这个 SME 的业务的余额也有几十亿，所以，在同样的这个信任关系下，我们的这种不兜底的策略在消费金融和小微金融里面都会得到延伸，所以我们会。在新的这个业务里面，我们会继续采用我们过去的策略，就是争取是向不兜底的方向去升级。
Yes, regarding your question about SME loan guarantee model, since we have deep cooperated with all our funding partner in the past few years, we have established deep rooted cooperation and we trust each other very much.Currently, we have a few billion RMB balance in terms of SME loan, and we will advance the SME loan to capital light model without guarantee.
关于风险的，请那个经验回答一下。
好的，我补充一下风险的问题。Mandy， 你来。
No, just I will turn the floor to our CEO regarding your risk question about SME loan.
好的，就其实前面也讲过啊，就历史上我们其实有经营一些 SME 的客户，那但他们的数据来源呢，我们现在看起来有所不一样，就是如果是税务信息的呢，这一块我们平均其实能给到。30万左右的额度，那发票信息呢？我们平均能给到14万左右的额度，如果只是营业执照这块，我们平均也给到了8到9万的额度。而这些客户呢，在历史上的表现，风险特别低，它是平均客户的0.8倍的风险都不到。从期限来说呢，我们这些客户我们也能给到17到18个月的一个期限，最高24期。而我们认为24期到36期的一个变化其实并不会造成一个本质的一个差异，对，所以这也是第一点，我们其实有一直在做这个事情，而且我们的 Argus 系统其实是支撑这一块的策略的那第二个点呢是说我们历史上所有只要我们对这个客群展开一些针对性的差异化经营的话它的策略会越来越好，越来越适应这个客群而接下来我们就 我们会花更多的力气在这些客群的一些精细化经营上面。对，所以最后他们的风险表现，他们风险表现，他们的盈利情况，我们预期也会更加的好一些。
Okay, I will translate. As Haisheng and Mr. Zhen have mentioned before, that historically, actually, we have SME customers, and based on the different data sources we can achieve, we have different credit lines. For example, for SME owners with a license, we have around 80,000 to 90,000. And for data of invoice, we have around 140,000. And for the tax data, we have around 300,000. And we can see that the risk performance is about 20% lower than the average of our total asset. For the duration is about 17 to 18 months, so there's no fundamental difference from 36 months the period. So we can see that actually our risk management mechanism can work on this customer base. And historically, we have also proved that every time if we do the refinement operation and improve our model, we can actually do and operate the customers. Yeah.
Very clear. Thank you. 谢谢海生总跟郑总。
谢谢 Steven.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all for today's Q&A session. I now would like to hand it back to the management for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thanks everyone to participate in our call. If you have additional questions, please feel free to contact us. Thank you.
That's the conclusion of today's conference call. You may disconnect. Goodbye.